couple of decades ago, there was a popular movie out that most of you probably heard of, and many of you probably saw, either in the cinema or on cable, or maybe you rented it and watched it at home. It was, first of all, about test pilots and their heroism, but it was most of all about the first American astronauts, the Mercury 7, and how they were selected, tested, trained, and all that. America has always loved people who do heroic things, important, historic things, so the adulation of these astronauts wasn't a surprise. What was good about the movie was how it showed these men maturing as they faced the dangerous challenges that were part of their job. In reality, they were setting a standard for all the astronauts who followed them. Those astronauts who lived up to those standards were said to have the right stuff. Now, we always have some kind of standard like that in almost everything. We're always applying some kind of ideal that we have in our mind to people, even if parts of them don't deserve it. Now, those first Mercury astronauts, at least a few of them, had some serious flaws. A couple had some drinking issues that blossomed later in life. One was a womanizer. One was fairly antisocial. John Glenn, who was kind of the hero of the thing, had to learn not to be so self-righteous. I suppose the idea of the right stuff was a developing ideal. Israel had an idea of the right stuff. Their guy with the right stuff was going to be the Messiah. And they'd been waiting for, some 500 or so years for this Messiah to come. So they'd had plenty of time to figure out what the right stuff was going to be. He'd be incredibly powerful. He'll show he has God on his side. He'll be descended from David. He'll care for the lowest, but he'll understand power. He'll be a defender of the law. He'll show signs from God. There'll be no doubt that God has sent him. Now, Israel had seen a lot of guys come along and claim to be the Messiah, and they'd all failed to live up to the standards. They hadn't had the right stuff. Mostly, they were lacking power and signs, and sometimes lacking any connection with David. So the people's anticipation was growing and growing. And then Jesus came onto the scene, and from the early reports, this was it. Or more accurately, he was the guy. The Messiah had come, and he was doing signs people hadn't seen ever, and healing people with only words, even people blind and dead or nearly dead, caring for the poorest and the lowest, and love of the law. He knew it better than the most learned of the rabbis and scribes, even though he never had any formal education that anyone knew of. That knowledge could only have come from God, so he could only have come from God. And he was indeed descended from David. Could it be that at long last the Messiah had come? The problems in life always come when people confuse things of substance with the things that don't really matter. It's like worrying about whether a football player, or any athlete for that matter, has the right stuff. Is there really any substance to what they do? I mean, I'm not anti-sports, y'all know me. I'm just saying. I think about what we consider as part of our list of the right stuff in America 2012, and lots of it doesn't seem like substantive stuff. Think about it. How you come across. Where you work. The length of time you worked at your job, and sadly, appearances are all part of the list we use to decide who has and who doesn't have the right stuff. Jerry Sandusky, the Penn State pedophile, You know, he's been in the news a lot lately. He would for most of his life have been said to have the right stuff. Football hero, soft-spoken, articulate, longtime assistant coach at Penn State, a great program, worked with kids. Now we know how black his heart is and how we've been deceived. Because the important things, the truly right stuff, is deep and sometimes not so easy to see. And just like it was for Jesus. And that was the problem. Israel loved the flesh, loved the appearance, but they didn't see the deep abiding things that were going to make all the difference. Now, you've heard this feeding story so many times, there isn't much need to go into it. This is the same feeding story Mark has, and Matthew and Luke, with John's added knowledge that there was a small boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Probably his lunch and dinner. You heard that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. When John says that he blessed the loaves and the fish, it means he prayed over them so everyone could hear. And the crowd would have realized that following his prayer, the loaves and fish became a meal for all 5,000 of them, with enough left over to make a statement. Now, this statement is a huge symbol that many in the crowd probably got. Jesus was enough to fill, meaning fulfill, the needs of all 12 of the tribes of Israel. And that means all of Israel. That's why there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Oh, and they did get it too. That's why it says in verse 14, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And then it goes on to tell us in verse 15 that when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So why didn't he just let that happen? Why not just go on ahead and accept the accolades? Well, besides the obvious problems that would raise with the Romans, the crowd didn't really understand who Jesus was. Not really. And once they did, they'd accuse him of having the wrong stuff and send him off to his cross. And what guy with the right stuff would let him do that? See, they really were looking for a worldly king, a political king. Their list of things for the right stuff was loaded with power stuff, beat the enemy stuff, obey the law stuff. There wasn't any room for Word of God stuff. There wasn't a place for God has a new plan for you stuff. There was absolutely no place for I am God's son stuff at all. What do you do if you're Jesus and you need to get that last stuff, that son of God stuff, onto the list? I think that's why the very next thing that happens in our narrative is Jesus coming to the disciples on the water. He needed to show them that he had mastery over nature. You know? And who is the master of nature? God. I'm convinced that the way the story unfolds, the disciples got it. John tells us that when they realized it was Jesus, they wanted to take him into the boat. They were glad to see him. And apparently they understood on some level what he was trying to tell them. To me, that's proved by what comes next. As soon as they take him into the boat, the purpose of this little episode is fulfilled. So there's no need to be out on the water anymore. The text reads that immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. All done. And yet, the crowds are still all revved up. The tenses in the original language imply that the next day, the crowds were continually looking for Jesus. The picture is almost of a frantic search. Where is he? He was here last night, but they only took one boat and he wasn't in it. When they found him finally, you get the feeling that they were almost taking him to task. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. You aren't looking for more signs for your right stuff list. You want some more bread. And then he takes them to task. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. There was too much perishable stuff on their right stuff list, which they needed to replace with the imperishable power of the Son of God. You and I have a right stuff list for people and for the church that I'm afraid is full of perishable stuff. What are the things on our list? Certainly, we have expectations for what a good Christian looks like, right? Should be proud of their appearance so they present well for Christ. Should speak well, certainly without vulgarity or rough talk, right? Ought to have certain family traits. We'll see them at church regularly, we hope. They ought to know their Bible, or at least be working at learning it. Well, you get the drift. Every one of those things seems human-based, just like the list Israel had put together for their Messiah. We have a list for the church, too. We think it ought to be doctrinally pure. Or else why do we spend so much time worrying about things like what to do about gays, or what version of the Bible to use, or what hymnal we ought to have? It needs to be a source of social welfare in the community. It needs to be well regarded and well respected and well liked. Above all, it should do a good job recruiting new members. When we see a church like that, we think it's got the right stuff, and we assume it's doing well. The truth is otherwise. Just as it was for Israel, these are all human-based things. There are only two things we need to do to have the right stuff, and they come from the mouth of Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He addressed those to Israel, and they couldn't do them, or wouldn't do them. You know the rest of the history. He addresses them to us. Our history is not yet complete. See, the rest of the history for Israel is that ultimately, Jesus was right. He said that day, "You are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." And that wasn't about simply eating. Jesus was saying, you're interested in your own right stuff and not the stuff of God. And we know what happened as his ministry wound down to its end. He revealed to them more and more of what God wanted, and they saw more clearly how it was not their right stuff, and they rejected it. Jesus' ministry was all about the wrong stuff as far as they were concerned. But that wrong stuff is the reason you and I are here worshiping today. God, in his wisdom, knew that Gentiles like you and I wouldn't have had a chance if Jesus was the Savior of the Jews only. And he wanted to save us all. Along with that, he wanted to give us the right stuff that would enable even more lost children to come home to him. In that great double commandment, to love God and neighbor, we have the right stuff we need, both for our own survival and for the mission to which God has called us. Sometimes you can't write a flowery end to a sermon, and this is one of those times. You know that we are working on rediscovering ourselves, trying to see what it is God has in mind for us in our church. Let's keep in mind the basics. Love the Lord your God with everything you got. Love your neighbor as much and in the same way as you love yourself. Those astronauts who had the right stuff stored to new heights, we will do no less.